Rejoice always. And is that not something to rejoice over? Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You ever wonder what God's will is for you? Happy Thanksgiving. I just want to say that to you this morning. I have many fond memories of this holiday growing up. My mom is a fabulous cook, and that was never more on display than on Thanksgiving Sunday at our house and our church. I never understood how we would go to church and come home and have that meal ready. That's something that you ladies are remarkable at, and some of you men, I won't say that that's not true. But I can remember that our table was always set beautifully, and all the good things, all the good mashed potatoes. I mean, I'm going to start into this, and you guys will be like, oh, let's just end this service. Sweet potatoes, and you know, my mom put the brown sugar on them. Anybody do that? And then the marshmallows melted on top. Oh, my goodness. You know, turkey. I love turkey. Gravy. And even the salad looked edible. You know what? It was just a wonderful time. It's one of my favorite holidays. It also helps now that I also had married a marvelous cook, and I'm looking forward to a great meal. I also have a mother-in-law, too, that helps out with that, so doubly as good. And the more I think about it, the shorter this message is getting, I can tell you that. Amen? You know, in my house, it didn't seem to matter, either growing up or you know, with Jen and I in our early days of marriage, when times were where money was thin and, you know, there was lots of things that was going on, we always found a way to enjoy a good meal and a great day to just celebrate Thanksgiving. But of course, I know, and you know, that Thanksgiving is more than just a day of good eating. It's even more than just a day of spending time with our families and our loved ones. You know, it's recognizing that within each and every moment of life that we live, and that we enjoy in this marvelous creation, that we get to celebrate a loving God and a God who cares for us, who cares for our needs and our desires. And no matter our circumstances, He gives to us the most precious gift of all. And that's for Him to be present in our lives and leading us through the deserts of life that we struggle with and that we walk through for the best possible outcome, which is life of eternity and in eternity with Him. But we're also aware that thankfulness is not always the natural response within us. Am I alone in that? Perhaps that's why we have a day or a weekend like this in which we celebrate Thanksgiving as a reminder that we are to be thankful and we are to have gratitude in our lives, a yearly reminder to be that way and to have a response to life that way. For those of you who have children, like we do, we recognize that thankfulness is something that a child learns to do. It's not a natural a thing for a child to just grasp and to do. We, you know, who has said, you know, well, you get something, say thank you, you know, or say, you know, say thank you for this or say thank you for that. It's something that's taught, and it takes consistency. But I'm probably not alone in that feeling of that proud moment when unpushed or uncoaxed, and your child says thank you for something that is given to them. It's, oh, maybe I'm doing something right. But we've also witnessed that awkward moment and lived through them numerous times of a toddler having a moment, right? A moment of ungratefulness or demanding something for themselves, their wants and their desires. And though it causes us as parents some distress for the most part, or maybe might cause a scene, we find that people are fairly understanding as we recognize it is something that is learned. As time goes on and toddlers turn into you know, young people and into teenagers. We've all lived through those awkward times too, of a teenager having an outburst of ingratitude. And as by then, you know, we have a little less patience and a little less time for that. And some teenagers learn, as some adults, you know, that to at least conceal that selfishness is somewhat, and maybe don't portray an outward like full on burst of poutingness or dropping onto the floor and having a real moment. But still, it comes out in other ways, in attitude and things that are said. And then there's some of us who can relate to the very uncomfortable, the very unpleasant instance of an adult having one of those full-blown bouts of ingratitude or an entitled rant. And maybe we've been there in ourselves. You know, as we grow, I don't know that we all learn to be grateful, thankful human beings. But we at the very least, we learn to hide our ingratitude, or we learn to keep it under control. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put those ways of childhood and childishness behind me." There's a maturing that he speaks of there as we grow, and an expectation that comes out of that the older we get and the wiser we get, or the more in tune with life we get, the less childlike we get in our responses, our negative responses that we give. But life has a way at times of causing us to forget. It has a way of causing us to return to our base childlike responses of life. It happens to the best of us. And sometimes it happens in the most surprising ways, and unfortunately, the most surprising of places. And it can lead us to feel embarrassed, ashamed. And so therefore, we need a little reminder that we have a lot to be thankful for, even in the midst of life's biggest challenges. In fact, those might be the most important times and most valuable times and most teachable times to count our blessings, looking for the areas of life to be thankful for and to show gratitude in. In our scripture this morning, this comes out of Exodus 16, we're reminded along with the Israelites that God is good, and He's good even in the very difficult moments of life. Jump ahead, thinking, how did I get to verse 16 already? I really want to get home and eat. Hold on. Now I'm really lost. Sometimes I'd be grateful if I put my notes together in the right way. Here we go. The whole Israelite community, this is going into chapter 16 in Exodus. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert, the whole community got caught in one of those moments and began to grumble against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve us, to starve this entire assembly until we are dead." You know, such is the natural draws of our hearts. You know, forget it, that in Egypt they were beaten, that they were worked to death, that they were enslaved. Yeah, they had meat because they needed energy to work long, long hours. But you, God, have brought us out here so that we might die. How quickly all that God had done for them was forgotten. All the miracles, rescuing them from their tormentors, from their oppressors, splitting the Red Sea, allowing them to walk on dry ground, all forgotten when the throes of a little hunger, a little grumbling in their bellies begins to grow. A little bump in the road, and they're pining for the better days of slavery. They had a fit right there in the desert. And yet, you know, as I read this, and maybe you as well, if we're totally honest in our hearts, that often we turn here. When the road gets a little difficult in our lives, we may not outwardly stamp our feet. We may not sit in the middle of the floor and pout. But we have all had our moments. So it's hard to judge the Israelites a little too hard, too harshly, too much. But as we continue on, we see that God is gracious. In many ways, spiritually, he treats the Israelites as infants. He says to them, Then the Lord said to Moses, okay, they're hungry. I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it is the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Again, he says, who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but you're grumbling against the Lord. You know, in God's gracious way, in his gracious state, he gives them the food. Manna. You know, it's hard to say what manna is. It's actually in Hebrew, the whole idea of manna, the name of manna means, what is it? That's what it means. So when they come out and they're like, they see it on the ground and they're like, what is it? And they just keep calling it that. What is it? But we do hear it. We do read a little bit about it, about what it is. And, you know, it's something sweet. They could pick it up. They could eat it as it was. They could make cakes out of it. It could be boiled. It could be ground into flour and used. It had numerous different purposes and ways to eat it. It was another of God's provisions for his people. Another one since he had brought them out of Egypt. And not the last one, I'll tell you. But God provides for his people as he leads them out there. He provides for them on their physical journey through the desert, but also a spiritual journey within their hearts, as he doesn't miss an opportunity to teach and to instruct. The physical journey was to get them to the promised land. It's where they were going. Though not any less important, it was not the highest priority to maybe your surprise. Getting them to the promised land was not God's highest priority. It wasn't the first thing on his list. Getting them to where he wanted them to go on the spiritual journey, however, was. In many ways, this is the same journey that you and I walk today. I mean, we journey towards our spiritual home. But I beg to say that it's not God's highest priority that you get there. His highest priority is that you get there prepared spiritually. We have a destination, heaven, but each of us is on a spiritual journey in which God is working within our hearts, your heart and my heart. And you know what? The journey in your heart might even look a lot different than the journey in my heart, which saves us a little bit of judgment for each other. But in the same way, the journey of what God is doing in our hearts is the priority. Look what God says, I will test them to see whether they follow my instructions. The food, I mean, he could have done food any way he wanted, but he did it this particular way, to test them. In other words, God seeks to teach his people that the problem is not in his leading. The problem is not in the leadership that he chose, or even in his provisions as he chose to do them. But rather, the problem lies within the hearts of the Israelites, the hearts of the people. And the main problem that they're dealing with is ingratitude, selfishness. So God sends them the food in the most unique, God-like way to show that this is from God and no other. This doesn't happen any other way, only through by the hand of God. In the evening, quail came and just covered the ground. They had all the meat they wanted. They just had to go and pick it up. And in the morning, the dew-like substance, which the people called manna, covered the ground. But on top of that, God gives them some instruction to follow, as he often does with us. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, verse 15, when the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" Which is the word for manna. For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer," which is kind of a single pat, like what I would eat or you would eat, just enough. "Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until the morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until the morning, and guess what? It was full of maggots and began to smell. And so Moses was angry with them. One instruction. You know, the Israelites really highlight two problems that I think we can all relate to in our relationship with God. The first is ingratitude. It's displayed in their grumbling, but also in their lack of trust. What drives these Israelites to disobey the command of God is a lack of trust. Well, we have this food now, let's gather it, and we can keep it. We don't have to worry about picking it up in the morning. And so the first thing is that God will continually provide. They had a problem with that. They didn't fully believe that God would continually provide for them. Second, it's that they didn't believe that God's word was true. Otherwise, they would not have had to do this. They wouldn't have had to go through this. God says, "Take an omer, then take more." What if there's no tomorrow? What if there's none of this shows up tomorrow in the morning? What if it's not there? We better just be safe. What if God is not trustworthy? You know, it seems silly to us when we read the story. And yet, what about our own lives? How do these things play out in our own lives? Are there moments in which we struggle with the same? God says he will walk with us through the difficult times. He will carry us through the difficult times of life. And yet we try to always do it on our own, do we not? And then we doubt God when it doesn't work out by our own hand. We say, is God not trustworthy? Will he really provide what is needed in our lives? Rather than giving God thanks for what he has done in our lives, we just move on to the very next thing to worry about. You know, it continues with the Israelites. Not only does God provide them food, he offers them rest. It says on the sixth day they were to collect enough for 2 days, so that they can rest on the seventh day. They don't need to do any work. Just enjoy a day on the seventh day. It's a Thanksgiving meal provided by the chef, God. Nobody has to get up. Nobody has to prepare anything. God will look after it. You just go on the sixth day and you get enough. And then all you have to do is sit around and enjoy the rest and the time together. But the scripture goes on, "Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it. But they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one's to go out." So the people rested on the seventh day. You know, when God offers something, for some there's a refusal to take it. God desired good for his people, a rest. And yet they disobeyed and they seek their own way again. And in the end they find nothing. The chapter ends with an instruction to keep some manna and to put it as one of the items in the ark, as we just quickly end here with the scripture. It says, take some of this, put it in the ark. It's one of the things that we find in the ark is some manna as a reminder to all of God's people through the history of the Israelites that God does provide, that God is trustworthy, that God provides for us in the desert of our lives, in the areas in between birth and the eternal home of heaven. God provides for you and for me. It was meant to stay there so that the people looked at it and they were reminded of this, that all the way through the 40 years that they wandered in the desert, every single morning they got up, there was manna. Every single night, there was quail. All the way up until they walked into the promised land that God had given them. And they were reminded of that. It's an amazing picture. It's in the ark because it's an amazing picture to remind us that God is good. There were struggles in those 40 years. There was death in those 40 years. There was uncertainty. There was trouble. There was hardships. There was most certainly a great number of sufferings. And God led them every single day. He provided for them every single day through all of it. Just like he does with us today. The question that we have is, do we recognize what it is and what it's for and how he does it in our own lives and how he provides for you and how he provides for me every day in our lives? A good God who upholds us on our journey, who provides for us on our journey, who leads us towards something far greater than what he has brought us out of. And I think that's another thing. Sometimes, like the Israelites, we just say, if I could just go back to where I was, I think I would be better off forgetting. Do we remember those things? Or are we prone to grumble? Are we prone to show ingratitude for what we have been given? There are some signs in our life that we need to be aware of, some things to look at, some things to recognize within our own attitude, within our own character, things that come out of our mouths, the actions that we take with our hands and our bodies and our minds and the people around us. One, constant complaining. Frequently showing dissatisfaction or even frustration with what's going on in our current circumstances. You know, I think we can relate to that. You know, sometimes we get down and it's just like, why? Like what? Oh, and the grumbling begins to start. Some other things we need to look for. When we begin to take things for granted. When we don't acknowledge the idea that things have been given to us, that we just get them on our own and we just begin to think they'll always be there. I'll always get this. I'll always have what I need and what I expect. And we never look at the efforts of the others around us who help to provide those things. Things to be aware of. Lack of empathy in our lives. Not being able to focus on, you know, personal needs or desires of others who we journey alongside. Or their feelings or their contributions in life. When we begin to neglect relationships, is another warning sign. Failing to show appreciation for friends and family, people we work with, or people we go to church with. When we begin to lead and recognize we have all these strained relationships and they're built on just superficial things. What about the idea of a mentality or a focus on life of entitlement? Another warning sign. Believing that one deserves certain privileges or outcomes without recognizing the effort that goes into them. I just deserve this. I should have this. Entitlement. Other things to look at. You know, not looking at things fully. Having minimal reflection. Avoiding moments of reflection or gratitude that you know should be there, but you just ignore them. Begin focusing on what's lacking rather than what you have and what's present in your life. How about an overemphasis on materialism, material things that you have? Valuing possessions over our experiences, our relationships with other people. Always being dissatisfied and wanting the next best thing, the next thing in line. And finally, another telling warning sign, being able to have difficulty in celebrating the good things that others do. Struggling to feel happy when others have successes or joys in their lives. And often maybe even going into that area of envy instead. These are warning signs in our lives that we may not be living with a heart of gratitude. Perhaps you're struggling with a few of those markers. Perhaps you've been struggling lately, or maybe a long time. Maybe you feel like you're stuck in a bit of a rut with some of them. I want to encourage you. Encourage you to take the scriptures to heart in making solid changes in your lives. Bringing your principles in line with God's principles, with God's desires to lead you well through these deserts in which we walk and struggle. And sometimes I have a hard time seeing the bigger picture. There are a number of ways in which the scriptures help us practically to overcome these things, to overcome an attitude of ingratitude. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Thanksgiving in prayer. You know, I'll be the first to admit that lots of times I just head straight into prayer and I hit everything. But being thankful. And I envy the people who start their prayer, even if it's something as simple as, God, thank you for today. Thank you for the breath that I have today. Thank you that I have something to do today. People who lead their lives in prayer of thanksgiving. They regularly express gratitude to God in prayer, as Philippians 4:6 encourages us. Or what about this one? Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, remembering God's blessings, reflecting on past blessings and God's faithfulness, as seen in Psalms 103, which urge us not to forget his benefits, to name them, to write them down, to remember to go back to them and say, thank you, Lord, for that. Annetta brought to us this morning a praise to go and say thank you to God, something we prayed about months ago, and quite honestly has left my mind. And yet, to remember to give thanks to God, and to count our blessings, and to remember the benefits. You know, some of the ways in which we do this, I remember when Jen and I first started into ministry, or I started to go to school, And we began to see things that God was doing in our lives. I mean, we were young. I had a good job, but we also had a young family, and times were tight. Sometimes it would come to the moment of having to pay my tuition. And out of nowhere, we would get some kind of gift. This always makes me emotional because I wrote it down. Somebody would step up and say, hey, I think you might need this. And it was always, I was always grateful to them, but ultimately I was grateful to God. And we began to say, we need to remember these times. And someone actually told us, they said, you should write those down. Because in ministry, ministry's hard. Sometimes you'll question, why am I here? Did God actually lead me here? And you might mention that, not even in ministry, but in any part of your life. Is God actually leading me? Sometimes you need to reflect back and count the blessings that have happened to bring you to where you are in your life. Write them down. Acknowledge them. Document them. What about this scripture? You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Serving others, engaging in acts of kindness and in service. I remember when we came to Clive back in 2007. Clive, you know, you may be new to the church. Clive has a deep history of deep family roots. There's a lot of big families, and you know, as time moves on, they get more and more connected. But I'm not, you know, but you know, when we were new, kind of new blood, we came to Clive, and I remember realizing on days like Thanksgiving, it was hard because there was lots of families. They did family things, and often Jen and I felt like, oh man, you know, we got Thanksgiving, and we would invite, of course, Ron and Donna over, and we would have a small family gathering. But it came to us at one point, there must be others in the church. And it was Genevieve's idea, not mine, so the credit goes to her. She said, we should have Thanksgiving and just invite people from the church who have no family, who maybe they've come from BC like we have, or whatever. And we began to do that on Thanksgiving and the different holidays that were the same. And we built almost our own little family out of these people that came. Acts of service and kindness. Look for ways in which you can bless other people and serve other people and come together in these ways, like Galatians 5:13 says. Another one, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Worship and praise. When we gather here together, we gather to worship and praise God. I don't know how many times I've come to church and I've been, my mind has not been there. And I've come here and we've got up and we've sang some songs and we prayed and, you know, we listened to a message and I left and that was it. I never once came with a heart. In those moments, I never dawned on me to come with a heart that I come here to worship the Lord. That's why I come here. And not only to do that, I come here to worship the Lord with you. And that we may do it together. And worshiping the Lord drives us to a place of gratitude for who He is and what we have done in our lives. I appreciate the worship this morning. Those songs were perfect for bringing us to the footstool of God and in worshiping Him. And that's why we gather here. To enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Another one. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, sometimes it's a matter of getting our minds out of the gutter. Getting our minds out of the things that drag us down and just focusing on those negative things all the time. And it becomes so comfortable to live there. And I don't know what it is. It's not healthy. It's not helpful. Yet it feels so comfortable. And getting our minds out of those things. Paul directs us to think about these things. Put our minds on the things that God is doing around us, the things that are good, the things that are beneficial, that are helpful, and being there and striving to live there. Another one, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know it is. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, learning contentment. Embrace the lessons of contentment that Paul speaks about in Philippians. And he goes on, which it emphasizes finding joy in all circumstances. You know, rather than looking and being caught up and being forced into the negative, look at the things that I can give thanks for. in these circumstances. Learn to be content, to be joyful with what God has given us. Finally, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Speaking of the evil one. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. You know, in coming to a direct understanding of where we stand with the Lord and what the Lord has done with us, sharing our story, sharing our testimony, sharing what God has done in my life with you brings us to a place of thankfulness and gratitude. Sharing our experiences can be an encouragement to each and every one of us, an encouragement to the community. What is God doing in your lives? Are you sharing that among each other and with each other? It can bring encouragement and it can strengthen a heart of gratitude for what God is not only doing in my life, but in yours as well. You know, today I encourage you, during whatever celebrations you are having, or maybe you've had them already, or maybe you're having them tomorrow, that you will take a moment to give thanks to our Heavenly Father for all that He has done to provide for you. If you've been struggling with a heart of ingratitude, like I do often, I ask you to take a few extra moments just to put down one or two of these things into practice that God has led us in the Scriptures. One or two of the ones I have just read, and if you want the list of them, I can give them to you. Maybe it's going to be just a private moment for yourself to just kind of go off, find a quiet place, sit down and enter into some prayer and say, God, I have been doing this and I want it gone. I need to deal with it. Perhaps it's something you're going to do as a family or maybe within your small group and you could do it together. Or maybe just a group of friends. Ingratitude is just such a life draining way to live. It doesn't bring life. There's enough struggles, there's enough troubles, there's enough hardships that you're going to have to walk through in life that you do not need the added burden of ingratitude, unthankfulness. Besides, there's something more. There's something better for us, all of us out there. It's going to mean taking a step back. It's going to mean taking your eyes off of all the problems that are going on in our lives and focusing on something bigger. So perhaps today, of all days, you could look and understand in the Scriptures when we read, rejoice in what God has done. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's to live a grateful, thankful life, not one burdened with the weight of ingratitude. I pray today that as we celebrate Thanksgiving, it's something that we put on the forefront of our minds and take either take with us or take care of in those moments. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for our community here at Clyde Baptist Church. We thank you for the families that are represented here. We thank you for the friendships. We thank you for all the good things that you have provided for us. We thank you for the manna of our lives, for the quail of our lives. Lord, we thank you. Today, of all days, we just want to come here and say we thank you, Lord, for being the God who loves us, the God who invites us into relationship with himself, the God who provides all that we need. We thank you. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.